You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, side B.
Let's see. Where do we even start with Drake? I didn't realize this is his fourth project in 4 years. Right? If You're Reading is 2015, Views 2016, More Life 2017, Scorpion 2018. He has not taken a year off.
Wow.
Last time he took a year off was 2014 when he still had crazy hit singles like Tuesday and, you know, that he jumped on. Like all that was
SoundCloud Drake, right?
SoundCloud Drake, definitely. Draft Day.
Yeah. Trophy. That's Trophies, right?
Trophies is the end of 2013 into 2014. Yep.
We made it.
We Made It is the end of 2013 into 2014. Yeah.
Yep. All that
man. Speaking of
Days
We Made
in the
It,
East. Yep. Yep. Yep.
I'm going to see Drake live in September, and at least on his last tour, he had We Made It on the set list. Man, I hope they play We Made It. I'm gonna be so happy.
I doubt it. I'm just gonna bust your bubble right there.
Yeah. Man, if I show up and it's 15 songs from Scorpion, I'm gonna be so.
Drake is one of those guys, and maybe let's identify the songs that he's gonna perform on this tour. Drake is one of those guys where I think I've said this on the show. First of all, I've said this on the show, or we've talked about this on the show, so should 100% be on the bingo board.
Absolutely.
Drake can do a B-sides concert.
Oh yeah, I think we talked about this last week.
Like, so clear. I got a compilation that I found with like pretty much all of his SoundCloud records, all of his Lucy's and stuff.
Oh, I have that. Yeah, I've got a couple of those. Yeah.
And I would love to. If this Drake and Migos tour comes to Columbus, I'm likely gonna go. But I really, really, really wish that I could get a B-sides concert out of him. I could see him doing it. Because we'll talk about the trajectory and the future of Drake's career after we talk about Scorpion. But just remind me to come back to that point and watch us not come back to that point.
Yeah, that's how it happens. I'm pretty bad at reminding you.
We get into our little silos and we start talking all over the place. It's all good.
I start talking about drums and then, you know, it's all.
Yeah, it's all good. So
this is fourth album in 4 years.
It's my fourth album.
Right. 4 years. And yeah, I'm counting If You're Reading this as an album, because
it's an album.
You know, we're way past that. What's a project? What's an album? Although we should talk about what's a double album, because apparently that's a thing. Fourth project in as many years. Two unstoppable singles from this album, God's Plan and Nice for What, and then a song that, I mean, we'll talk about it, but almost seemingly off the strength of a video and simply the Drake brand, I'm Upset, still got in the top 15, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, massive hit singles at this point, like, you know, a new Drake album feels like an inevitability, like, oh, it'll be number one and it'll smash records and everything else. But like, it's really interesting for me to see like where he's at musically with this. Right.
Yes.
Because I thought we were going one place, and this album is not what I sort of thought it was going to be at all.
Okay.
And we could definitely talk about that as we go through it.
Please,
but
I would love to know.
Aside from the singles, setting it up, anything else that you think we need to keep in mind as we jump into this?
Technically, there were no lead-up singles.
I'm Upset.
I'm upset. It's weird. Like, the three singles that he put out felt like Lucy's versus build-ups to an album.
Oh, see, Nice for What? That I knew that was the. I think the success of God's Plan might have surprised them a bit.
Sure. Yeah.
It was
I think
one dance of this album. Sort
yeah,
of, right?
Absolutely. Like, 100%. 100%.
Like, we thought that was the warm up. You know,
I guess what I mean is like there was no OVO Sound Radio like we thought. There was no lead. No. There was no lead up. It was literally just a date. No, it was a date.
It was a month,
then a date, then it was a track listing, then it was a track listing with features. And then they did a Beats One thing where they just played like his greatest hits, which was actually a really good mix. The mixes were based off of the type of Drake. So it was like Houston Drake, there was Sad Drake, there was Turn Up Drake, there was like Rappity Rap Drake, it was a bunch of different Drakes. It was really good.
What about when you have Sad Houston Drake? Because that is a type of song.
Oh boy, there's...
I miss Houston Drake. What happened to Houston?
Houston Drake was hard. Houston Drake was tough. Yeah,
Houston I miss Drake Houston Drake.
Yep, yep, yep. So yeah, I don't have anything else other to say about other outside of the music to talk about in regards to that album. Let's get into it.
Okay. So we open with Survival.
Mm-hmm.
Produced by 4D and No ID.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of short, actually. I mean, mm-hmm. it's an intro, which, you know, sometimes intros are short. I get that. Then not always the case, right? Tuscan Leather was like 7 minutes long or whatever.
Right.
I like this beat. This feels very like when I heard this, I was like, oh, this is Views Drake.
Mm.
This beat totally sounds like something off Views, but I like this beat. I think Drake's good on this. I like this song. Okay. You know, he's sort of talking about how he's, you know, he's references put, you know, Pusha and Meek a little bit. He talks about the Diddy thing from a couple years back. But, you know, I don't know. I wasn't mad at this being the opener. How'd you feel about it?
Yeah, I think when I think about Drake intros, they're often polarizing.
I think he has good intros, right?
Absolutely. So okay. People love Tuscan Leather, but I think he has better intros. Lust for Life is classic to me.
Yep.
I think Fireworks is good. It didn't age well, but I loved it at the time.
Yep. That I would agree with that.
Over My Dead Body is fire.
That's fantastic. Tuscan Leather.
Yeah, Tuscan Leather. Free Smoke is dope.
What was If You're Reading This?
Legend into it's amazing.
That opening
because
run on If You're Reading This,
I was gonna say
really
like,
well.
Like I don't even know if I consider Legend to be the intro because the first six or seven songs are just back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
Just that whole run is fantastic. So I think he has really good intro. So when I hear this record, like it's good. It's dope.
Yeah.
I think it sets the tone for the album.
Mm.
And the tone is very set.
Yeah, let's just stop burying the lead. I didn't realize we were gonna get Views too.
I think Views was more sad than this. I'm sorry, this was more sad than Views. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was stunned, actually. This is not the sound. The sound for this album is not at all what I expected.
I think that Pusha shook the table.
You think so? A lot of these songs have been in the cooker for a while.
I think some of them have been in the cooker. I think much of them have been rewritten.
Mm.
Because this wasn't, if the Adidas thing was real and he was coming out with, he was announcing, he was showcasing his son to the world along with this Adidas thing, I wouldn't want to showcase my son like this. This was a lot of cleanup.
Mm.
This is a lot of cleanup lyrically. This was a lot of like, all right, let me explain. This was a lot of, I was going to, but I was getting around to it. Like it was a lot of that. I think his hands were tied. I think he wanted to respond, but I think that his, from what I've heard, because I've, you know, mm-hmm. I know people, like the response was really, really bad. And it was almost like a suicide mission where it was going to affect him just as bad as it affected Kanye. Pusha was going to catch shots, but it was focused on Kanye, and the things that Kanye, that he was going to expose about Kanye were going to be really, really, really bad. It felt like a lot of cleanup and then a lot of like victimizing and just a bunch of stuff. We're getting deep into the album, but a lot of, lots of what was me.
Mm.
And I think that's one of the reasons why is because on all those intros that we talked about, like Drake is like puffing his chest out, like, y'all well, don't do what I do.
Except for that Views intro.
Which one was the Views intro? That was
Keep the Family Close.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. That was terrible. Oof.
Let's talk about Nonstop.
Yeah.
Produced by Tay Keith, mm-hmm. the guy who produced Look Alive, and No ID, along with Drake's engineer, who his name is Noel Catastray, I think. And he gets a lot of production credits on here, which is super interesting.
Okay.
This song had to grow on me,
mm-hmm.
but it's so simple, it works.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see this being a single, actually, if he wanted to. Not like a pop single, but if you want to pull a little something out. Because I think people really like this. It's just all about the bass and then Drake mm-hmm. trying out some different flows on it, whatever. But people mm-hmm. really like this.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's good. Yeah, I think it's good. I don't think it's like amazing or incredible, but I think it works.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I had the same sentiment. It's still growing on me.
Mm.
I don't run to listen to it.
Right.
I usually, when I'm listening to the first disc, it start a couple of tracks in. But when I let it ride, this is growing on me. It's cool.
Okay. Next up, we got Elevate, produced by Nonstop from 808 Mafia and Party.
Okay.
I kind of like this beat, actually.
This beat is dope.
What I really don't like is some of Drake's singing, especially that, if you need me, you can. I'm like, no. I know what he's doing. He's doing this kind of like very like pleading, kind of like whatever. Like it's meant to be almost kind of annoying, but I don't like it. But once he starts singing not in that tone and then rapping, like I really like this song.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, again, this feels kind of Views-ish, but the parts of Views that I liked aside from the Caribbean Jams part. But yeah, I'm good. I'm good with Elevate. I like it. How do you feel
like,
about it?
I feel like Views aged well, better than people give it credit for.
It totally did.
Yeah.
I went and listened to it today.
Yeah. I feel like More Life is the record that is kind of...
I think parts of More Life have actually aged really well.
Okay.
I feel like there was... I'm still... I just can't believe he didn't... I feel like there's so many records out there he could have tried to push.
Absolutely.
And he just didn't. I don't understand.
Yeah.
He didn't... You know... And maybe people just think, maybe I'm just feeling something that he's not, but like, he really didn't put much effort into anything off More Life. Like in terms of like the afterwards promo, like no big videos for anything. I wonder if some of that was like, because it was the J-Lo thing. And like, you could tell that some, like if they would have been a couple still or a thing, there would have been a whole thing going on with videos and everything else. But once that left, then it's like, well.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah, Elevate.
Yeah, Elevate's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Elevate's cool. Say another one it's still growing on me.
Okay.
You know, I just got to listen to the album in the car for the first time today.
Oh.
So all of my listens. Bass. Yeah, all of my listens. I listened at midnight in the house. And then I've listened to it quite a bit on this road trip this weekend. I may have heard it like 6 or 7 times. They were all on my headphones from my iPad. So I didn't really get to ride around to it. But this is one of those records that sounds best in the car.
Totally. All right. Well, we definitely have to talk about Emotionless.
God, yes.
One of the most discussed songs online so far.
Yes.
Produced by No ID and 40.
Yes.
I'm going to let you start with this one.
Oh, my God.
How do you feel about this song?
Man, first of all, I forgot all about the extended, which I later found out was the club mix.
The club mix of Emotions.
I forgot about it, but I know she put that out because Mariah was real good for putting out like remix albums and B-sides. And she would put out a single to like urban radio, and then there would be maybe a techno or a house or a pop mix for crossover. And yeah, that's, man, that flip is so fire, man. Immediately one of my favorite beats on the album. Yeah, like this was it for me. This is where I start when I listen to the album, and it was such a high. I'm like, now I'm like kind of cooling off on it just because I played it so much. But first listen was like, wow, love it. Right up my alley.
I really want to love this.
No, you're killing me.
It's a dope idea for a
you're
sample.
Killing me.
I don't actually love the chop.
I love the chop.
I don't love the chop at all. But
it's off, but it's like, I love it. It's, well, okay.
But it still works. I'm just being
maybe
stingy about it.
Do you not like it because it's a No ID 444 chop? That's a 444 beat with better
yes.
drums.
Well, I don't actually like the drums in this. Okay. I don't.
Let's, all right. I don't even
I don't.
How many more tracks? We got 22 more songs.
We got a lot of songs to go.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
No. But in terms of content, like I think this beat is such an alley oop for Drake.
Yep.
And this is the first time on the album he acknowledges the kid, right?
Yep.
I think Drake is fine on this. I think this song is good. It's just not the way that sample opens. I think like I just almost wanted more. If that makes sense.
Now what more could you get from that?
Better drums?
Oh, you're
a not 444 chop, you know.
You're killing
I like how you call it a 444 chop because you have exactly zoned in on the problem with this beat.
Oh, you're killing me.
It's good, not great.
Killing me.
I know.
I don't want to do the rest of the show.
Yeah.
I'm ready to throw in the towel. This is my stop. I'm ringing the bell on the bus. I'm ready to get off.
Next up, we got God's plan.
Scared.
So let me say this. I really appreciate God's plan in the sequencing of this album.
God's plan sounds depressing in this
no.
album. Yes.
Everything up to this point has been cold. Nothing bright or warm or even really like, yeah, everything has been just ominous or cold. And so this is a total, it's like someone, like the shades went up on the album.
Man, God's plan still sounds cold to me. God's plan did not sound cold to me until I heard it sequenced this way.
Interesting.
Where it's amazing. The single on the second disc does for me what you says this does on the first disc.
And I agree with you. The single and the second disc, totally same idea where it's just like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I think this song has taken a bit to grow on me. Like when we first listened to it back with Diplomatic Immunity and man, how does he not include that on this album? But anyway,
I get it.
I don't think it fit.
I think it was a stream of consciousness.
You know what he could have pulled a J and done Diplomatic Immunity 2. Same beat, new lyrics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Could have. I didn't need it because I really like Diplomatic Immunity, but I can see him doing that.
But God's Plan is gonna go down as one of those like iconic Drake singles, isn't it?
Yeah. He's gonna perform this at the end. This is his this is gonna be up there with like his New York State of Mind. Like, oh my God, when Jay did that at 4:44, like I've never sat down so fast.
In New York. All right.
God, I hate that song. Oh, anyway.
Let's talk about I'm Upset.
Yes.
Produced by it's Oogie Mane?
Sure.
Yeah. I didn't really like this when it came out. I don't really like it now. I think it's pretty boring.
Yeah.
And I think it's a testament to the power of Drake in a music video plus just the name brand of Drake that this has been a top 15 single. This is almost like a heat check. Except what I'm concerned about is, does he know it's a heat check? Like, did he put this out and think to himself, yeah, this is my third number one off this album? Or did he kind of know?
You know, there's a couple songs on this album where he's doing like what the kids are doing.
Uh-huh.
And this might have, like, I'm upset. There's one coming. And it feels like, yeah, it feels like this was like, this is his 21 Savage impression.
Sure. I mean,
even the way he says disrespect is the way that 21 Savage says disrespect. Like, I'm surprised he didn't say six, I don't know, or something instead of 21. But yeah, I'm good. I never liked the song. I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
Next up, 8 out of 10, produced by Boy Wonder, Jahan Sweet, who's been doing a lot of stuff with Boy Wonder. And of all people, O.B. O'Brien, where has he been? I'm sure his contribution was basically, hey, sample Lil' Kim's Crush on You. Go ahead, put that in there. That'll work. You know I want to love this beat, right?
Here we go.
Because
I'm here with you.
You know, this is the same drums as Incarcerated Scarface's, the Detroit Emeralds sample. This is a Marvin Gaye sample that actually took me a minute to recognize, which is, that's saying something for a Marvin Gaye song. Oh, who am I kidding? I like this beat a lot. There's something about it that feels like the opening feels kind of weird to me. Like, you know, Drake's trying to get in some line, you know, want to get some lines in about Kanye, but like
starts the song off with a line about Kanye.
Right, that's what I mean. Like that beginning is kind of like, meh, but I like this beat. I do. I think Drake is fine on this. I don't think he's amazing. What?
Yo, our fans have just ruined you saying fine for me.
It's fine?
Anytime you say it's fine, I just bust out laughing.
I mean, am I wrong? Like, he's not really attacking this or anything. You know what I mean? Like, Drake's cool on this.
I don't think he attacks anything on this album.
I agree with that. I do like this song. I think it's a good song. Pretty good song. Not great, but it's pretty good. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I wanted to like this song, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The second verse, it picks up on the second verse.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Second verse picks up. A couple records are like that. Actually, another song I'm about to get into is this exact same way for me. But yeah, it's okay. I think because Emotionless set a rapidy rap bar really high for me, that I think if that didn't exist, some of these other rapidy rap records would have hit me better.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I give you that. What's next?
Okay. Mob Ties. Boy. Produced by Boy Wonder and Alan Ritter.
Yeah.
Apparently, this sample is Affirmative Action.
Okay.
This is the... I can hear that. I can kind of hear it.
Yeah.
But, like, it sounds off.
They clearly manipulated the sample.
Yeah. This song does not do it for me in any way, shape, or form. I don't like the beat. There's a part on here where you can tell, because Travis Scott hinted at being on the song, and you could tell it's supposed to be Travis's part on the song. But, like, I don't really ever need to hear Drake talk like he's a mob boss. Like, this is not 1996, right, where everybody has an alias and is a Gambino and whatever else. It's ridiculous. You're Drake. Be happy. What is the problem? You're not ordering people to their death. Like, I don't understand. No, I'm so out on this song.
I don't think that Drake is required to be happy. Drake is increasingly sad every time I hear him.
You're right.
He's more and more sad about his life.
That's true.
And I think when people's problems, right? Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, I hate the argument that just because people are rich and successful that they automatically are supposed to be happy. We do that with athletes. We do that with artists, with musicians, like anybody who's famous. We say, oh, you shouldn't have those problems. You have this, that, and the third. And it just,
Drake's got everything he wants and he's never been less happy.
And that's the worst part, because what do we do? When you're broke, what do you say? Man, when I get this check or when I get this, everything will be better. So imagine getting what you think you need to be happy and then still not being happy. Then it's like, well, what else is there? What is there? So as for this song, it was weird. Like, it was in my head a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
So when I went back and listened to it, I was like, all right. Like, I didn't hate it the way that I didn't hate it when I first heard it, but I didn't like it. But it being stuck in my head on a 7-hour drive, it's not terrible. It's not terrible. I'm not rushing to it, but if I hear it while I'm out, I might bop, you know.
You might bop a little bit?
Yeah, a little bop.
Okay. Little Running Man or just a little bop?
Nah, I can't do the Running Man.
That's just picturing two guys in their 40s trying to do like the Kid and Play to Mob Ties. Like,
oh,
it's just
my God. That would be so funny.
Can't Take a Joke. Produced by some guy named Mod Max, along with Drake's engineer, Noel Catastray again. This beat is pretty boring. Drake's kind of trying to skate on this flow-wise. Mm-hmm. He's trying.
Mm-hmm.
But the beat drags this whole thing down for me. Mm-hmm. And I skip this song every single time.
I feel like I want to like this song. Mm. Like, it's okay. Like, I don't hate it. But again, if I'm letting the project run.
Right.
I like it. It's weird. Like, I'm up and down with it. Like, I don't want to be absolute about some of these songs, because some of these songs I can tell in a couple weeks I'm going to like them a lot. So I'm not quite ready to say whether I do or don't like this record, because I feel like the jury is still out for me.
Okay. Yeah, it just feels kind of boring to me. I don't know.
Sure. No, there's definitely some boring stuff we're about to get into.
Oh, my God.
Soon enough. But compared to those, this isn't boring. This just isn't. It's not. We'll get into Drake's projects. We'll get into those pretty soon.
Sandra's Rose.
Yes.
Produced by DJ Premier and Manish, who is Drake's guy that him and 40 call in when they want to make songs that sound like samples but don't have samples.
Got it.
And that's what happened here. So of all things, I think Primo reached out to 40 and said, I want to work with Drake. And so they sent back. They sent him a handful of, like, here's some stuff our guy Manish has created. What can you do with them?
Okay.
And so he sent this back. I like this beat. It's not, like, an amazing vintage Primo beat or whatever, but it's dope. I like this beat a lot.
Man, judging off Prime, I don't know if you're going to get that anytime soon.
I know, which is why I'm not. But I like this beat. This is probably better than almost anything on Prime, right? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah,
That Prime album was snooze.
Yeah.
But again, like you mentioned before, this is the kind of beat, I kind of need Drake to go in on this beat, and he's not. Like, he's fine, but he's not. There's no urgency. I'm not saying he's got to, like, yell on it or anything, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm just not feeling the urgency from Drake on this, and I kind of wish there was a little bit more. I mean, I know it's Sandra's Rose, it's about his mom or whatever, but, like, you could still be a little bit more, I don't know, bring something to it. What do you think?
I think the problem is the drums.
Hmm.
I think the drums. Yeah. I'm gonna dock it.
Go ahead. The drums are fine.
So I noticed that all Friday, Ninth Wonder was fielding tweets asking him if he produced that record, because those are Ninth Wonder drums.
Well, that's interesting.
That's the second era of Ninth. Remember, I know you remember this.
Not the first era.
No, the first era Ninth used two snares, two snares and like three kicks. That second era when he started working with Buckshot, I think that Murray's second album, that Murray's Revenge, he got into different drum kits, because that's when the internet started to turn on Ninth and say that his beats were getting repetitive, so he was switching his drums. Those are second generation Ninth Wonder drums. I also think tempo doesn't help him. Like, it's weird, because even look at a record like Diplomatic Immunity versus a record like maybe a record where Drake is urgent is energy, right? So still kind of melancholy. So he's not like really attacking the beat, maybe in terms of diction, but you can still feel the force behind what he's saying. Diplomatic Immunity, for whatever reason, he's not attacking that beat, but it works.
It totally works.
But with this record, I think it's the drums. I think it's the tempo. I also think it's the expectation of Drake and Primo. And I think that the people who like this record, I'm not saying this, but I feel like people feel like they have to like it because it's DJ Premier. And that's my problem with other podcasts, other media outlets, other perspectives from people, journalists who are respected versus maybe like this one. Like, it's not a big, I don't make a big deal out. We don't make a big deal. Sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't make a big deal out of calling out our favorites when they fall short.
Right.
Sometimes it gets extra. Sometimes we get extra. It is what it is. But a lot of times we don't. So for me to say, this Primo beat isn't doing it for me. And Primo's beats haven't been doing it for me for a while.
Right.
Like, does that mean that we hate everything? No, it doesn't. It just means that I'm able to articulate why I don't like this beat. And if you do, that shouldn't bother you. That's it. So with that being said, I also wonder if this is on a completely different note.
Mm-hmm.
There's a blogger named Sandra Rose. I wonder if there is some sort of double entendre there. She doesn't blog as much anymore, I don't think, but she was one of those super duper gossip like bloggers, like before Shade Room. For all that stuff, it was
Sandra. Oh no, SandraRose.com still exists.
Okay.
Yeah, still a thing, definitely.
So I wonder if that is a play on words. I mean, is he talking about his kid? I don't know if he's talking about anything crazy on here. He might be.
He's got a kind of a clunky, dumb line about Amber Rose, but anyway.
He was talking about Amber Rose.
Anything else you want to say about Sandra Rose?
Nah, I've said too much.
Let's talk about Talk Up. Which is a combination that I was not expecting.
Yes.
Featuring your man, Sean Corey Carter,
yep.
Jay-Z, produced by DJ Paul.
Yeah.
So only right, considering that, you know, as Drake continues to hop around the South, that since he has taken so much, done so much recently, we'll say, with Memphis-inspired music, to go back to DJ Paul. I feel conflicted about this beat.
Okay.
Part of me loves this beat. And then part of me is like, there's something, it's just not, like, something's just kind of missing. But it helps to hear it on a system with a subwoofer, because when the sub bass comes in, it's super deep.
Yep.
If you hear this on a system without a subwoofer, even if they're good speakers, you're going to think that there's not enough low end in the song, which is what I thought initially. But then I heard it with a sub and I was like, oh, okay, I kind of get it.
Yep.
I think Jay's verse mostly works. Like, at times, so there was this era of Jay where, like, late 90s, like, I'm thinking, like, 98, 99, where he would jump on a quote-unquote regional beat that wasn't, that wasn't his style. That's what his verse on here feels a lot like to me. Like, he's kind of, like, there are parts where I'm just like, wow, like, Jay's kind of flowing here. He like, gets it. And then he, like, stops, you know, and, like, pauses and, like, bends over and, like, ties his shoelaces for a minute and then picks up again. Like, he's sort of, but there are points where I'm like, yeah, all right, Jay. But I have no idea what Drake's doing on the song, aside from nothing. I was really disappointed. I mean, considering that Drake has spent the last year trying to skate flow-wise all over Memphis-inspired tracks, How does he not bring it for this? I don't understand. But so I'm kind of conflicted on the song. I don't know. I've talked a lot. How do you feel about Taco?
This beat is hard.
Yeah.
This beat is hard. God, give me, man, like it's amazing that in the resurgence of Juicy J over the last, I guess his run, which was what, like 2011 to maybe 13 or 14?
Yeah.
There was very little mention of DJ Paul. And hearing this DJ Paul beat, it's almost like hearing Pharrell beats without Chad, where they're good, but you know that Chad would have added that extra to it. Where I wonder what, well, you, because you know what Pharrell and Chad's musical relationship is for the most part. Like, they've been very vocal about it. And if you've been a listener of the Neptunes long enough, you can kind of pick out who does what. Well, I mean, if we have any listeners who are familiar with how DJ Paul and Juicy J would produce, I would love to hear it. Hit me up on Twitter at Armand Wake Up or at CRS Podcast. Let me know if they've talked about that. But I'm just curious to know if they would have done this beat together because they fell out or they've fallen out, what would have been different? It's just a hypothetical thing. But aside from that, like, this beat is crazy. I don't mind Drake and I don't mind Jay. I don't think either one of them kill it. I think it's just like the beat is the star of this record. It's such a sharp left turn from the rest of this album.
Yes.
It goes from being sad to very angry and threatening. And it needed, like, this album needed a jolt. And this is the jolt of that. And there's a couple of jolts on this album. This is the second one. I think Emotionless is the first one. I think this is the second one. But I like it. I like this record a lot. This record is dope. How do you feel about them rapping over the tags are still in the beat? You hear the tags?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, this song got put together pretty late. So I wonder if that's part of it. Like, they literally didn't have enough time to, like, get, like, whatever back. And they just rapped right over it. Because, I mean, clearly Jay did this verse, like, last week.
Right. If not Tuesday.
Right. Right. So, I didn't mind the tags in the beat.
I didn't either. I thought they were kind of dope.
Yeah, I thought it kind of worked. And yep. I mean, good for that. I mean, because that way you know, because of those tags, somebody's gonna sit there and Google DJ Paul.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. I did that on Kairos with his kid Sway. He produced Lost It All. I said, yo, leave your tag in, like leave it in purposely. Like I'm paying for it, but leave the tag in. Because sometimes it works and sometimes you want to give other people that. In wrestling, they call it the rub. Give them the rub.
Okay. Let's talk about the last. We haven't even talked about the A-side, B-side concept yet, which is hilarious because, you know, I'm not saying we invented A-sides and B-sides, but come on. The end of side A, Is There More?
Mm-hmm.
Produced by Wallace Lane, who I'm not familiar with. You could have fooled me and told me that 40 produced this. And I would have totally believed you.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing, right? Like, and this really carries on through, like, side B of this album, where it's clear that, like, Drake and 40 built the seed for this modern Toronto R&B sound, and there's all these other people who are doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely carries, because there's all sorts of people producing songs on side B, and you're like, all right, this kind of sounds sort of like a 40 record, but I don't know. I like the song actually. It's a nice little Drake track. I like this as a bridge between side A and side B actually. This is kind of a weird run. Sandra's Rose, Talk Up, and then Is There More?
Mm-hmm.
The sequencing, I'm actually not in love with the sequencing on this album at all. But okay. This is a nice little bridge, and then the outro is I think this Nye Palm from Hiatus Coyote.
Sings the
Aaliyah. Vocals.
Okay. I was wondering if those were manipulated Aaliyah vocals or okay. Even better. Even better.
How do you feel about Is There More?
I actually think this record is dope.
Yeah, I like this track.
This record is dope.
It's kind of stuck at the end in a weird way.
Yeah. I understand it as a bridge. I think if these were physical discs, I think the sequencing wouldn't be as good. And we're gonna talk about streaming and sequencing in a second.
Oh boy.
Nah, this record is dope. I like it. I don't know why he would end the album with more than a woman, But
well, he just wants to tease some of the, you know, Static Major obsession.
Sure.
We're gonna see.
Yeah, but like, but More Than a Woman. I don't know. Just, it doesn't. It doesn't fit.
Out of all the Aaliyah track, I mean, I like that. I like that Aaliyah record. It's probably. I'm gonna say something because I. What was the last? I'm gonna get jumped. Yeah, that's the last single of hers that I really really like.
That was her second to last single.
I'm saying that is to say I didn't really like I Care For You. I was like, nah.
Are you bugging? I Care For You is fire. Okay, I Care For You doesn't count because she passed by the time that record came out. Now, I think that last album was We Need a
Resolution, which is completely ridiculous.
I always want to say We Need a Revolution because I remember when Dead Prez rapped over that and I thought it was the most amazing thing in the world. But that beat is like I can't even describe that beat. That's one of the.
If Timbaland ever gets a section in the Smithsonian, I just need that beat. That is like, it's not the. I'm not saying it's the greatest Timbaland beat, but it is such an example of like. You want to know why like Timbaland was incredible? Listen to this. Listen to this.
Here's the problem.
Okay.
He just did a beat battle with Swizz 3 weeks ago.
Uh huh.
Didn't even sniff on that record.
Well, it's an R&B record.
They were playing R&B records.
Like Swiss R&B records?
Like, I think Swiss did What Y'all Want. I think he played his Eve record. So there was space there. He played What Y'all Want.
Did he bring out the Casio? Or was that... No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that beat is crazy. So there was We Need a Resolution. There's More Than a Woman. Then she passed after they shot the Rock the Boat video.
And Rock the Boat.
Rock the Boat was the third single. The fourth single was I Care For You. And then I think that album was done.
I don't really care for Rock the Boat either.
Oh, you okay? Because you're not an R&B dude. Listen,
my appreciation for Aaliyah records are the ones that Timbo produces.
Okay, so you're more of the one in a million. Like you're there.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's real. Man, nah, Rock the Boat was a dangerous time for young Armand. That was peak club.
Work the middle.
Yeah, that's man. That record
changed
yeah.
positions.
Man,
changed.
That record got. That record got a lot of people in trouble. Anyway,